In Psalm chapter 27 and verse 5, David writes this. I trust this will be a comfort to your soul. That's not my text, by the way, but Psalm 27:5, David writes this, "For in the time of trouble, he," referring to God, "shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Now, I really like how David pictures, he paints these pictures for us as he describes his own experiences as he walks with the Lord. And if you look at these, generally he infers some sort of difficulty, doesn't he? Some sort of battle, some sort of danger, he describes as he's experiencing the joy of walking close to the Lord. The fact is, folks, that all of us, I would assume, all of us have or have had or will have times of trouble. And what makes our situations troubling is where we let those circumstances take us. The real battle is where? It's in our minds. That's where all of our battles are, in our minds. Even if the difficulty is physical or emotional or relational, we deal with those things in our minds, don't we? And how we respond to those things is very much a spiritual matter. You say, well, my bad back is a spiritual matter. No, that's not a spiritual matter, but how you respond to it is. Where you let your circumstances take you is a very, very spiritual matter. And when I use the term spiritual, I mean our response to the Spirit's leading in that circumstance. You can count on it that every time you experience something, whether it's good or bad, you can count on it that the Spirit of God is urging you how to respond properly. But I can also say that your flesh is also trying to urge you to respond improperly at the same time. That's the battle of the believer, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, every single day we're dealing with our flesh fighting against the Spirit. And so when I talk about spirituality, I'm really talking about two aspects, right? In the negative aspect, it's referring to a lack of spirituality when we don't listen to the urging of the Spirit. And then, of course, the positive sense refers to when we are. So it's possible for us to respond in two very different ways to the same exact situation. And that response is what's going to reveal our spirituality to us. If we respond according to the Spirit, we're giving heed to the Spirit. We're walking in the Spirit. If we don't, we're not. So there are going to be times of trouble for all of us. If you have never experienced it, you will. Because, not that I want to be a downer, right? But that's how God builds us. He allows us to go through these difficult times. But the question for us is, as we go through these difficult times, where are we going to let those times take us? And they definitely have a propensity to pull us around. If we're not careful, those difficult times can drag us down into some pretty dark places. Amen. I mean, many of you could testify at some of the dark places you've been. But these are places that have names like frustration. That's an awful place to be, right? Or a place called anger or doubt or fear. That's a scary place. And weakness. And that's what happens. Those things are characteristic of people who allow their circumstances to drag them there. And it's an awful place to be. These are people who allow that. And the main reason this happens, folks, is oftentimes because we forget some really good news, right? The news is there in the Word of God. But oftentimes our circumstances become so great that it distracts us. It kind of tilts our thinking away from these truths. And we start focusing on that circumstance. And it starts dragging us. It's waiting. Waiting for us to turn our heads. And it starts to drag us. For the believers, difficult situations do not have to drag us to dark places. They don't. It's not inevitable if you're a believer. We have an option. We have a glorious option. In our times of trouble, we have a pavilion that we can go to. We have a tabernacle to go to for security. That's what the Word says. This is a place where God will set us up in safety upon the rock. We can enter a strong and mighty tower. We can be sheltered from the offenses of the enemy. The Bible tells us we have a refuge. I like saying that word. It makes me want to sit down and close my eyes, you know, when I say refuge. Okay, open your eyes. Some of you have closed your eyes already, but this is a place where we can go and take asylum. It's a secret place if we choose to dwell there. If we choose to make this our daily go-to place, then verse 1 of Psalm 91 says that we will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And as I mentioned before, how close do you have to be to somebody to be under their shadow? You got to be pretty close, don't you? And that's the inference here. If we choose to do that, Psalm 91, I want to remind us, first of all, of a few things that we've already looked at. We started this several weeks ago. But this place, this secret place, is for a specific kind of person, isn't it? Am I right? I mean, he's very clear about this. It's for people who have a particular relationship with the Lord. It's for people who think this way. Look at verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. There are some who have a belief about God, right? We live in a world where people think they know God. They would say that they have knowledge about God. And they may say, yes, God is a refuge. God is a fortress. But to the one who puts his or her trust in Him by believing on Jesus Christ, that personal possessive pronoun can be used. He is my refuge. Can you say that? He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. Is that your testimony this morning? If it is, you have access to the secret place. If it's not, you don't. I'm just the messenger. But that's what the Word of God teaches us. Is the God of all creation your personal God? You know, Jesus said in his Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as what? As many as received Him, to them gave He power to what? To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. If you're here today, you've never believed on the name of Jesus, you could do that today. But if you've never done that, you're not part of the family of God. You don't have access to the secret place that He's talking about in verse 1. Are you confident this morning that God has made you one of His sons or daughters? If so, then praise the Lord. You have access to this secret place. And what access it is. There are benefits galore in this secret place. You know, when I was a little boy, I was a member of the boys' club. And in my town, that was a cool thing. Right? That was the only place you could go. Right? Was the boys' club. There was the CYC, too, which was the Christian Youth Center. And that wasn't as fun as the boys' club. But anyway, our boys' club was absolutely amazing. How many of you have ever had the opportunity, guys, have you ever been to a boys' club? Right? I mean, you grew up in a town where there was a boys' club. Ours was phenomenal. In one building, all right, in one building, our boys' club had this huge game room. Right? We had all the foosball and ping pong, all the games you can think of were in this one room. And also they had a full-size movie theater with a balcony. Wow. And they showed movies every day, right? Every single day. They had 3 full-size basketball courts. They had a huge workout gym. I mean, every piece of workout equipment you can imagine was inside of this gym. They had a full-size swimming pool, right? I'm talking the kind that the Olympians swim at, right? We had one of those. And on the top floor, believe this, the top floor was an ice skating rink that they used for professional hockey games. Wow. Huge, huge place. Well, when I was a kid, what you'd have to do is you'd have to go in there and you'd have to pay to go to these different places. You know, if you want to go to the movies, you pay for the movies. You want to go skating, you'd have to go up and you'd have to pay for the skating. But if you were a member, All you'd have to do is when you went into the boys' club, you just show the guy at the door, right? There's this long line of kids. And you go up to the guy at the door and you just flick him the card. And he'd say, hold out your hand. And you'd hold out your hand. And he'd put a stamp on you. And you would just kind of hold it up as you walk by all those guys and say. And you could go to any of those things, any of them, without paying a dime. All of the benefits of that one club were yours because you were a member. And that was absolutely cool. You could use all of these different things just by flashing that little stamp. Kids would be waiting in line. And you know what? I would go for days without washing them. You know, I'd go home and I'd cover it up so my mother didn't see it. And after I got out of the shower, I would cover it up. Why? Because it was a cool thing. I was a member of the boys' club. I would flash this thing at school. It had absolutely nothing, no value at school except to, you know, when you're talking to somebody. Oh, are you a member of the boys' club? Why, yes, I am, as a matter of fact. I don't have to pay a dime to go to the movies. I don't have to pay a dime to go swimming or to go ice skating or anything like that. And so that was quite a thing. But you know what, folks? If you're a member of God's family, you've got a stamp, too. You do. You have a stamp, too. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, after that ye believed, ye were sealed, stamped with that Holy Spirit of promise. Again, that word sealed means to be stamped. When you trusted in Jesus Christ to save you, the evidence is that God stamped you with the indwelling Spirit of God. If you're a believer here, you're part of that club. You're part of the family of God. The evidence is the Spirit of God stamped on your heart. And you know what that gives you? Open access to everything that's God's. Everything. All of the blessings, especially in this secret place. What a great deal! We don't deserve this, but God in His glory gives it to us. Now, there's not necessarily a pool or a skating rink there, but verse 3 tells us there's something far greater. You know what's there? Deliverance. There's deliverance. Verse 3, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I appreciated Brother Vernon's illustration this morning, how he himself was a fowler. And really, it made me think of how simple it is. We have some of those feeders also outside for the hummingbirds. And you could sit right out there, right underneath the thing, and those little guys will just buzz you. Right? If you had a net, all you'd have to do is hold it up. Right? Remember I talked about how tiny their brains are? Right? And that's true. They think, well, it's just a big bird, you know, must be sitting there. And we could actually capture them. The fowler tries to do that. But folks, for us, if we are dwelling in this secret place, then we have deliverance from that. Christians have an adversary, don't we? An adversary who is constantly setting snares for us. And God promises that He will keep us from falling into those snares while we're in the secret place. But you know what happens? Sometimes we don't stay there. Sometimes we're distracted. Sometimes we allow the circumstances of our lives to cause us to walk away from that place. And you know what happens generally? We fall into a snare. But if we've fallen into a snare and we go back to the secret place, we stay close to God, you know what He promises? I'll deliver you from that. Isn't that great? You know, the righteous man falleth 7 times. Even righteous people fall, don't they? But you know what I believe makes them righteous? They get back up again. Right? By the power of God, righteous people, sure, they fall, but they get back up again and go. And we learn something every time we fall, don't we? If nothing else, we learn how gracious our God is. How merciful our God is. That's what's available to us in this secret place. And he will pick us up. He deliver us out of it. And also He'll deliver us from the noisome pestilence, which I said means plagues of mischief. That describes all of us. We all are just a bunch of plagues of mischief. We're just ready to do mischief. That's what our flesh wants to do. The songwriter wrote, and we all sing this, and I think if I were to take a show of hands, that all of us would raise our hand, that when we sing a portion of this song, we understand it. Where the songwriter says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. prone to leave the God I love. And we all are like, yes, I'm prone. I'm prone to that. We're filled with mischief. But listen, when we are abiding close to God, when we are dwelling in this secret place, God delivers us from that. Right? What the devil will do is say, see, you are such a failure. Every time you encounter those difficulties, you fall. What a failure you are. God says, no, you're just human. But I will show you how powerful I am. And he will deliver us each and every time. The devil wants us to think that once we're down, we can't get up.
That's right.
God wants to remind us that once you're down, I'll pick you up.
Amen.
But he wants us to turn to him. So there's deliverance, but there's also protection. Look at verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Brother Vernon mentioned this morning also, but even as a hen covers her chicks with her comforting wings, so too God covers his beloved with a tenderness that we just can't imagine. It's a tenderness that brings about the peace of God that passes all understanding. Isn't that a wonderful truth?
Amen.
God's peace is amazing. If you're a believer in Christ, only you can experience the peace of God. But it passes all understanding. That means that when you're going through a situation and you experience the peace of God, you're thinking in your head, I don't know why I'm not upset.
Right.
I really don't understand why I'm not reacting in a poor way. Mm. Well, God says, that's because you can't understand my peace.
Right.
But I'm giving you a peace where you're going to be settled in that circumstance and you're going to be able to give me the glory. And sure enough, don't we?
Yes.
I thank you, God. I should be a wreck right now, but you've given me your peace, and I thank you for it. And that's available as we stay close to him. And so God covers us with this divine tenderness. He gathers us up in his omnipotent embrace where we're preserved out of harm's way. And his truth, which is preeminent in the secret place, his truth acts as a shield and a buckler to those who dwell there. And so it's the truth of God, folks, that quenches the fiery darts of doubt, the fiery darts of error that are constantly being shot at us every day. The devil wants us to doubt the word of God. Every single day, in some way, the devil is shouting to us, yay, hath God said? Did God really say that, just like he did to Adam and Eve? And God, in the secret place, reminds us, yes, I did say that. And my promises are backed up by my power and character. What a great God we have. So the truth of God quenches those things, but also the truth of God is God's protective armor as we go out into battle. Every day you get out of bed, you're entering the fray. You're entering a battle with the world, the devil, and your own flesh. And folks, how often are we in the battle? This is not a 9-to-5, is it?
No.
This is not something that we make appointments for, right? This is something that happens all day. And verse 5 shows us a wonderful blessing to those who dwell in God's secret place, because God promises, verse 5, he said, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. What's he telling us there? The battle is all the time, day and night. We are exposed to danger both day and night. It's a constant thing. Our enemy wants to see us destroyed.
Yes.
But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Our God is all powerful, who wants us to be successful so that he gets the glory. But God says, in my secret place, you won't be afraid of the terror by night.
Mm-hmm.
What's he referring to here? I believe what he's telling us here, he's saying that even your most primal fears. We all have fears about something, don't we? Irrational fear. And by the way, our irrational fear is enhanced by darkness, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is, if we're honest with ourselves. Do you think that there are people who are afraid of the dark?
Yeah.
I'm afraid of the dark. Right? It's not a phobia, I don't think. Right? But I'm afraid of the dark. And really, the dark makes normal things seem terrifying. It really does. You know that I live behind the church. Not very far. But I go through a patch of woods. Right? It's like the Black Forest. And we have lights, but they don't work. All right, there's a short in them or something. And so there is a patch of that road that when you walk there at night, it is pitch black. Right. And you just, as I walk, I kind of feel, thankfully, it's paved. And so I can tell when I'm walking on the pavement and when I step off into the grass. And so as I walk, I'm kind of walking blindly. All right. As I walk back to the house, not very far. I've lived here for years, right? And here I am. I'm alive. Things are great. But I walk back there, and at night, when I walk back there in the day, do you think it's totally silent? I walk back there during the day, and I hear twigs snapping. I hear branches falling. I hear rustling in the bushes. Never think about it. Walking home, just, you know, don't think about anything. At night, when I'm walking back there at night, click. I mean, it'll stop me in my tracks, right? What was that? What was that? A branch fall. Same sounds, right? A little rustling. I mean, how many millions of mice do you think are back in the field back there? And you just hear this little bit of rustling, and it's like, ooh. And I begin, you know, I mean, I get into a stance where I'm going to protect. No, I'm telling you, it does get a little bit scary back there because of the dark. And what I do is when I hear those sounds, I attribute those sounds to something that's got to be terrifying, that's going to harm me. But during the day, I don't even glance toward those things. You know, and at night, I'm straining my eyes, trying to see what could have made that sound. I told you before, I've made these journeys to the trash cans when I was a kid that my father had dangerously put behind our garage. And amazingly, the only time the trash needed to be emptied was after dark. That was the only time that the trash needed to be emptied. And my dad would say, take the trash out. And he kind of smirked. And many times, the trash never made it. I made an attempt because I would go out there and there would be a noise and I would launch the trash in the direction of the trash cans, right? And generally, sometime during the next day, my dad said, did you empty the trash? I said, yeah, kind of. He said, well, what do you suppose that is all over the backyard? Did you put it in the can? Oh, now he's got to be picky, right? Well, no. And so I'd have to go clean it up. But my point is, folks, is that the darkness heightened my fear because I thought I was in grave danger. And listen, sometimes in our Christian walk, God allows certain circumstances in our lives. He allows us to be faced with terrifying prospects. And I mean, these are very real things. These are things that just like the fear of the dark, you know, when you're going through that, it's a very real thing. You know, afterward, you might laugh at it, right? Everybody laughs at me. I hope you had a good laugh. But no, I mean, later on, you might laugh about it. But while you're there, you're really thinking, this is terrifying. And sometimes God puts you in a circumstance where you're faced with this thing, and you begin to think through the situation, and you become terrified at the prospect that's facing you. When you're dealing with a lot of unknowns, there are many of us here that are dealing with things just like that. You look at your situation and there are unknowns about that, aren't there? There are things that you just don't know about. And what happens when there are unknowns? You know what our mind tries to do? It tries to resolve them. Isn't that true? I mean, you face a situation, and that's why you don't sleep at night, by the way. Because you're trying to resolve this in the quietness of the day. You're trying to resolve it. And what happens generally is only our fears increase. Right. Our knowledge doesn't increase, but our fears increase. When I you may recall, just maybe 8-10 weeks ago, I pulled something in my back and I pinched a nerve, right? And it was kind of miserable. I mean, how embarrassing, right? I had to stand through the services and, you know, everybody's looking at me and stuff like that. But anyway, so I wanted to know what was going on. Wouldn't you?
Sure.
Right? I mean, I couldn't go to the doctors right away. I wanted to know what was going on. So like a level-headed person that I am, I went to the internet to try to find my diagnosis. Isn't that where everybody goes to find their diagnosis? Well, in fact, I did find that in most cases, what I was experiencing was because of a pulled muscle, and it would probably heal up in between 6 to 10 weeks. But in rare cases, it could be life-threatening. That's what it said. In rare cases, it could be life-threatening. And what is the tendency of our flesh? Honey, I found it. In rare cases, it's life-threatening, right? And so we generally go with the worst-case scenario. And listen, if we're not careful, in circumstances that God places us in, we can be overcome by our fears. We can be overwhelmed by our fears concerning a particular situation. And that's why this is so precious. This promise is so precious. Look what he's promising. He's promising to us here that when we are tempted to be terrified, as terrified as if you were in a most terrifying situation in the dark, when you're tempted to be terrified by the possibilities of any given difficulty, all we need to do is remember that in the secret place, he doesn't say he offers it. He says, you won't be afraid. Amen. You won't be. You won't be afraid. You won't be afraid of the terrors by night. Why? Well, what's the primary cause of our terrifying fears? What is it? What is it? Lack of faith. Because we don't believe. Is that true?
Sure.
That's absolutely true, folks. A lack of faith in what? In the truth of God. Now here God is telling us in verse 5, you will not be afraid for the terror by night. You won't. If you believe that, guess what? You won't be afraid. He promises it. You won't be afraid even in those circumstances. When you're in the secret place, you are girded up by the truth of God as a shield and buckler, and that truth gives you strength and confidence in the promises of God. And that is a glorious gift. Amen. When you can stand firm on a rock, when the world around you is trying to shake you loose, God says, you're not afraid. Remember? Right, he has to remind us. Hey, you're not afraid. Remember, I told you, you're not afraid. And you have to go back to God and say, oh yeah. Yeah, I'm not afraid. Because my confidence is based upon the truth of your word. And as you get closer to God, your confidence increases. And what a glorious place it is. What a great thing it is to be able to go through the worst of storms and to do it with the peace of God in your heart.
Amen.
And not to be afraid. Amen. Knowing it doesn't matter what happens. God is in control of my life. And I know when I come out on the other side, it's going to be for my good. And for His glory. That's something we have to rehearse in our minds over and over again. Every situation. Right? Some of us can do this during the hard, hard times. But what about the small things? Right? We get a flat tire when we're at Walmart. You come out of Walmart and your tire's flat. Do we stop and think, wow, I wonder what God's trying to teach me? Or do we kick the tire? Right? And hope nobody saw us. Right? And if somebody saw us, you just say, well, I won't give them a track. So, but you know what I'm talking about. We don't think that the small things matter. But listen, God takes every iota of difficulty in your life. He uses even the smallest things to reveal to you something about you and something about Him. That's His intent, so that you will be more conformed to the image of His Son. That's His goal, right? Isn't that what we talk about sanctification? That's the process of our sanctification. And so he says that he will take away our terrifying fears. But also verse 5, he said, thou shalt not be afraid. Why? Look at the end of verse 5. For the arrow that flieth by day. And so here we have this picture of these archers. If you can imagine, they're hidden. They're ready to ambush us. And they're ready to shoot unsuspecting victims. And the idea here is, folks, that there are dangers that believers encounter in the day and at night. We are always in this warfare as we wrestle with principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And our tendency is to see those things or to think about those things and worry about them. Right? I mean, we do have a tendency to worry about things, do we?
Yes.
Maybe it's just me. It's a good thing I'm preaching this for myself, because I do have issues with some of these things, and I'm thankful that God has this secret place. But really, our tendency is to worry about these things. How about this? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? How will we make ends meet this month? How can we pay for that schooling? How are we ever going to deal with that sickness? How will we ever get through this situation? Those are all arrows. Right? You're going through all these things, and the devil is trying to hit you with these doubts of arrows of doubt, these arrows of error, trying to get you to think, did God really say that? Can you really trust God? Listen, folks, when God's people are stuck deep in fear, it's because we have fallen short in our trust of Him. We don't believe He's our comforter. We don't believe that He is our protector. Many of you know C.H. Spurgeon. Spurgeon wrote this. It's a little lengthy. Bear with me. He says, if we give way to foolish fear, we shall dishonor our profession and lead others to doubt the reality of godliness. Think about that. Our own fear is a bad testimony of the power of God. God says, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee. When we fear, we're saying, I think He forsook me. I think He left me. What a bad testimony. He says, we ought to be afraid of being afraid. I like that. We ought to be afraid of being afraid, lest we should vex the Holy Spirit by foolish distrust. Down then, ye dismal forebodings. I wish I'd talk that way. Down, you groundless apprehension. God has not forgotten to be gracious, nor shut up His tender mercies. It may be night in the soul, but there is need be no terror, for the God of love changes not. Children of light may walk in darkness, but they are not therefore cast away. Nay, they are now enabled to prove their adoption by trusting in their heavenly Father, as hypocrites cannot do. Folks, I want to encourage us this week to purposely dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Who knows what we're going to encounter this week? We're all going to encounter something, right? I mean, hopefully, if we're alive, right? I mean, we're going to encounter something, and you can count on it. God's going to have His hand in it. It may be something that's prosperous to you. You can still respond wrongly to prosperity. But it may be a difficulty. It may be a heart-wrenching thing that will just tear your heart out. God wants you to respond in the secret place. Amen. He wants to let you know, look, I know what's going to happen. I ordained it in your life. I have a purpose in that thing in your life. And I want you to trust me as you go through it. And when you do, you'll be the better for it. Amen. And I will be glorified. That's His intent. Amen. And you will be better used of God to be able to help others also. But if you're dealing with the fears of life, I want to encourage you. You go to the Lord. You take time to go to the secret place. Ask Him to rescue you. He's a rescuer. God is a deliverer. All you got to do is go to Him and say, God, I'm in great need. You know, God understands. You can be so honest with God. You know, sometimes we don't want to be honest with each other because of our pride. Right? We don't want to let each other know just what failures we are, although the Bible already tells us, right, that we are so weak, right? But and sometimes that carries over in our relationship with God. Don't let it. Amen. You be honest with God. You tell God, Lord, I am an utter failure at this. Your word tells me that I won't be afraid, but I am scared to death. God, will you give me the grace to conform to this? I want to believe that I won't be afraid. I want to believe that, Lord. And this is what you can do. You can count on it that God will deliver you. He will. He promises every single time. He will rescue you. Listen, we need to be like David, who said in Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. God will deliver you from all of your fears. You stay in the secret place. and you won't be afraid. Is there a lot to be afraid of out there? There is. But God says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
Amen.
And the things that He allows are actually going to be for our good so that we can thank Him.
Right.
Count it all joy, James says, when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy. And we think, really, James? How can I count those awful things joy? Because God has a purpose. He wants to increase your patience. He wants you to be more usable in His kingdom. And it's going to be for your good. If you really believe that, then you can thank Him for it. And you can rejoice. And you can say with David, I sought the Lord and He heard me. Deliver me from all my fears. God is so good. Well, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never believed on Him to save you. Well, the Bible is very clear that the secret place is inaccessible to you. You can't get into the secret place unless you become a child of God. And of course, the Bible teaches us that all of us are sinners, right? That's one thing that the guy that led me to the Lord did not have to argue with me about. You're a sinner. Yeah. Well, there's consequences to that. And the Word of God tells us that because we are sinners, we are destined to a devil's hell. That's God prepared that for the devil and his angels and for those that reject Jesus Christ. But God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God commendeth His love toward us. Romans 5:8 says that God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, He sent Jesus Christ to die for us. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And all we need to do is repent of our sins. Paul tells us to repent of our sins and be converted. And then call upon the name of the Lord that He would save us. If we've not done that, right? You're not born into it, right? Maybe your parents were Christians. You're not born in, because you're born into a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. Right? You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ for that to happen. Even if you were baptized. I talk to many people and I'll say, are you a Christian? And they'll say, well, I was baptized. That doesn't make you a Christian. Baptism is merely a sign that you are a Christian, that you recognize that you identify now with Jesus Christ, that your old self has been crucified and you've been raised again in newness of life. It's just a testimony that that happens. But that in and of itself does not save you. It's taking the time to believe in the things I've just mentioned and asking God to save you. If you've never done that, then you don't have access to this. As a matter of fact, all you have access to is we're going to talk about in Romans 1 tonight. I hope you come back for that. All you have access to is the wrath of God. And it's not a pretty picture at all. So, Christian, are you going through a difficult time? Are you going through the valley of the shadow of death? Then be like David. Seek the Lord with the assurance He will hear you. And He will deliver you from all your fears. And give Him praise for that.
Amen.
Even if you're not going through anything, Christian, in your prayers you ought to thank Him. Thank you, God, if I know, I have the assurance if I ever go through anything, Thou will hear me and Thou will deliver me from my fears. Right? He deserves it.
That's right.
Let's pray. Amen. Father in heaven, I do praise Thee for the truth of Thy word, and what a comfort it is to know that Thou dost love us so much, Thou hast created this closeness, that we can get close to God. Amazing. That we can experience such blessing that we cannot work up ourselves. These are all the blessings of Almighty God, a peace that we can't work up, a peace that we can't even understand. We thank Thee for the deliverance, the protection, the joy that it is to be a child of God as we walk close to Thee. Lord, maybe there are some here who know Thee as Savior, yet they have turned from Thee, even slightly. Maybe they would acknowledge that they're saved and would praise You for some of these things, but in their behavior, Lord, they are not. They're not yielding to Thee. They're not walking in the Spirit. They drifted from that secret place. I pray this morning, Lord, that in Thy loving kindness Thou wouldst draw them back to Thee. Help them, Lord, to experience the joy of abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. May we make that choice to dwell in that secret place for Thy glory. And Lord, if there's anybody here that that can't gain access to the secret place because they've not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that even now, that today would be the day of their salvation, that they would recognize that there is an action on their part that they must do, and that is believe and pray. And Lord, if they've not done that, I pray that they would desire to do so today. I would rejoice with all the angels in heaven if someone were saved today. But Lord, thou dost know the need here, and I pray that we would yield to the leading of thy Spirit. We love thee, Father, and praise thee, and ask these things in Jesus' marvelous name. Amen.